Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
For obvious reasons, we keep this place as gloomy as possible.
Welcome to Mind Poppers Podcast.
We are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies.
Once you get used to these grim surroundings, you'll never leave. Nobody ever does.
We continue now with tonight's case, Conspiracy.
Now, listen.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mind Poppers Podcast. 2021, it doesn't look like it's slowing down any time soon. You know what? I kind of ricochet between just wanting peace, just wanting it all to end. But then there is also a side of me, a very chaotic side of me that's like, okay, let's see what 2021 can bring. Let's see how 2021 is going to top last year. There is a certain anarchist in me that is like, bring it on. Let's see how the world is going to burn. First week into 2021. Well, my God, it's the second week now. Things have been crazy. We had those Jeffree Star and Kanye West rumors that Jeffree Star Cosmetics was laying pipe to Kanye West amidst divorce rumors between Kim and Kanye. Jeffree came out and said that it was not true at all, but the rumor had originated because someone was saying that Kanye West was sexually involved or was having an affair with a male beauty blogger. Now, of course, I just did my old little digging around, and once Jeffree Star, you know, said there was nothing to it, I thought that was it. A couple of people had gotten on to me, though. Obviously, no names. That's not what we do here. Someone who was involved in the club circuit in the United States said that it was kind of a well-known kind of, I guess, secret or whatever, if that makes sense, that Kanye West had sex with Amanda Lepore, a trans model, I guess, back in the clubs in New York. So, I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire is all I'll say, allegedly, I will also say. But the rappers, they love their trans girls. They do. I mean, Drake, Kanye, they all love their trans girls. A lot of people were theorizing that Kanye West was actually gay. Regardless of the Jeffree Star rumors, a lot of people were saying that he was gay. And you know what? It makes sense to me if he was gay, because Kanye West, he literally picked out of all the women in the world, he picked out Kim Kardashian West, who is this like hyper feminine icon, I guess, you know, is the kind of at the crux of, we'll say, mainstream pop culture femininity. So it's like, if you were going to cover up, you know, your sexuality with anyone, you're going to pick like the most girly girl in the world or whatever, if that makes sense. And the fact that, you know, like a gay man's dream, the fact then that, like, you know, because Kim Kardashian is essentially like Kanye West's Barbie doll, and you know, he spent time like dressing her in all these terrible clothing. They were never good. Those shoes are terrible. So maybe there is something to that. Maybe Kanye West is a mo. excuse my French. So there could be something to that. Civil war on the horizon for the United States, as these crackers storm the Capitol, which, you know what, and I'll say this, I'm not mad about it. I mean, look, I'm mad because you stormed the Capitol, and you did what, you stormed the Capitol, okay? And then you sat in Nancy Pelosi's office and took selfies, you fucking loser. You know, like, I can respect anyone storming a government building. I can, you know, respect a revolution. You know, I'm here for a revolution or an uprising. You know, sign me up. I'm all about that. But you go in and you steal a podium and you take fucking pictures in Nancy Pelosi's office, you fucking honky loser. You know, that was just so sad to me. Like, what was the point of it? You broke in and then what? You know? And again, I didn't really respect it because they were doing it for Trump. Not that I'm like, oh my God, I hate Trump so much that I just, you know, it's not that. It's the fact that that was your reason for storming the Capitol. Like, that was the straw that broke the camel's back was Trump. Now, of course, these people are getting arrested or whatever. And there was, you know, it's kind of funny because it was like a lot of people were like, you know, making the comparison, and rightly so, that if it was like a Black Lives Matter movement, you know, because we'd seen how the Capitol was armed the last time when the Black Lives Matter protests were going on. And, you know, it looked like they had a fucking army on the Capitol steps, you know. But it was funny, you know, then seeing all these white folk going up and doing it, and really nothing was done. And it was like kind of a factor. We're like, you know, maybe we want some more police brutality. Do you know? It was kind of that lack of police brutality. And you were like, really? But enough about that. Now, what I will say is that we'll keep our eyes tuned when you're listening to this, because I think the word on the street is that the next big, like, protest, like, you know, Viva la Revolution in terms of these Trump honkies, something's supposed to be happening on the 17th, okay? Maybe the 16th, 17th. So keep your eyes peeled on the news for that. We'll see what their next trick is going to be. And the last thing I'd say about this before we get into the meat of the episode, like, you see all these, like, real kind of, like, leftist people, you know, or whatever, talking, or, you know, you're seeing these idiots on Twitter and whatever after, like, former, I guess, President Donald Trump now, was, you know, like, banned from Twitter, banned from Facebook, banned from Shopify, banned from YouTube, all of these different social media platforms, which, what I would say, is going to be detrimental to him securing a bag, you know, post-presidency when he's trying to flog his wares. You know, it's his most direct access to his audience. So that is going to be a real killer for him, for sure. I imagine he's going to, you know, take something to that in court. But more so, what really annoyed me was all these kind of leftists are very, whatever, being like, oh my God, like, yes, Twitter, you know, yes, Facebook. These big tech companies. And I'm kind of like, well, first of all, okay, Donald Trump has been left to his own devices and given free rein for the last 4 years when the majority of this damage was done. So now big tech wants to swoop in the final days. He's only in office for a couple more days until Biden takes over, until Sleepy Joe comes in. So now for all these big tech companies to swoop in and be like, oh, we're blocking Donald Trump, it's the right thing to do, you know, after he, you know, incited violence or whatever, and, you know, this Capitol uprising. And I was like, get a fucking life, you honky losers. It's like, seriously, you're going to, like, suck the arse of these big tech companies. 4 years this psychopath had free reign. But now, when he only has a couple of days left and they know that he's a losing ship, he's lost the election, they all want to swoop in now and be like, it's not right and we have to get him off our platforms. It's too fucking late for that. Okay, big tech, as bad as you think Donald Trump is, you know, and rightly so, whatever, understand that big tech, okay, the people who, you know, allowed the spread of misinformation, who voter suppression, all of this, the people who are stealing your data and selling your data, okay, are infinitely times more evil than Donald Trump, okay? And you best believe that. Now, moving on down to our conspiracy corner. Conspiracy that I want to talk to you today briefly, okay? And this one, it is kind of startling, and look, whatever. A lot of us, obviously, are afraid to fly. I used to be afraid to fly for many, many, many years until I just stopped caring if the plane went down. When you lose the will to live, you will be you will be so shocked in what fears just disappear. But something I came across right in the darkest recesses of the internet was this theory, okay? You know when you're on the plane and you're sitting down and you have that little pamphlet in front of you, you know, and it goes through all the safety instructions about your belt, what to do when the oxygen masks come down. What I'll say about that is something, you know, that I did not appreciate as a child was it always said, oh, your parents put on your gas or your oxygen mask first. That didn't sit right with me as a child. You know, I wanted it on first. And if mommy and daddy had the time, then move on to them. But more startling than that, right, is that, you know, they're told when we're bracing for impact, bitches, you know, buckle up, and you kind of go into that brace for impact position, the fetal position or whatever. According, okay, and this again, the streets have been saying that position, right, is a lie. It's a hoax, this fetal position that you're supposed to get into as the plane is about to crash, okay? People are saying it's a farce. Okay, they're saying this because allegedly what these people are theorizing is when you get into this position upon impact, this actually, whatever way your body is structured, this will actually snap your neck like that, okay? And it actually kills you upon impact straight away. And they want you to die when the plane's going down. Again, according to these theorists, these conspiracy theorists, they want you to die when the plane is going down so that you're dead, obviously, but for the reason being that the people who survive, you know, a plane crash like that, you know, will have to get paid out like a big massive settlement, like millions in a settlement. So apparently that's what, again, this is just the streets talking, saying that getting into that fetal position is actually deliberately designed to kill you so the airlines don't go bankrupt, so the airlines aren't paying out millions in damages or whatever to the survivors. Get into that. How fucking evil is that? Now, what I will say is, because I don't want to be held responsible if any of you go down, a lot of people on the internet as well are saying this is being debunked numerous times via crash test dummies and what have you, okay? The popular consensus is that this conspiracy theory is debunked and that you should get in, you should brace yourself in the fetal position for your own good. Now, is it above, you know, airlines to pay a few people, send a few brown envelopes, you know, to these websites, you know, tell them that the fetal position is not designed to kill them? I mean, no. But I do have to say, disclaimer, because I, again, will not be paying out anyone's families. But there you have it. Okay, that's interesting. Is it actually designed to kill you? Or, I mean, it would make sense. And we all know how corrupt and evil these big money-making monster industries are. So, I mean, it's a possibility. Now, just in case, I do want to bestow upon you some useful things that you can use if your plane is going down. Okay, well, first of all, it's really, you only have about a 1 in an 11 million chance of going down, I believe. And you know what doesn't say right maybe about that is the fact that you have more chance of dying in a plane crash than you do in winning the lottery. You know, that doesn't sit right with me. But I guess one of the main rules is you have 90 seconds, okay? So what the streets are saying is that it's not, a lot of the time, it's not the impact necessarily that kills somebody, but it's the plane blowing the fuck up, you know, when it hits the ground. So they're saying that if the plane goes down and you survive the impact, that you need to be running for the hills because you've 90 seconds before that motherfucker is completely engulfed in flames. So you got to get out of there in 90 seconds. Now, again, fitness comes into it as well. They're saying that, like, a young slender male has the most chance of survival, so thank you very much. Whereas they're saying that a fat, older woman is the most likely to die. Sorry, ladies. also, they're saying the bigger the plane, obviously, the more chances you have. A lot of people are saying, remember the 5-row rule. So what you want to be doing is kind of being seated 5, I guess, five seats away or five rows away from the emergency exit. So I guess kind of towards the back of the plane, back to middle of the plane. Don't think you're supposed to like go up the front of the plane because usually the plane nosedives, you know. So you want to stay away from there if you want to optimize your chance of surviving that. Again, the most dangerous times in the plane is the first three minutes taking off and the last 8 minutes landing is your biggest chances of going down. Now again, they're giving tips like saying don't sleep, but I mean, come on. Make sure your shoes are secured. Okay, I think that's fair. Don't be wearing your Birkenstocks on the plane, okay? Because, well, maybe you deserve what you get if you're wearing Birkenstocks in the first place. They do advise don't drink alcohol, which I would disagree with completely. Make sure your seatbelt is fastened. Obviously, you're not going to tell me that those airplane seatbelts do shit. Because they're not. They're, I mean, look at them. They're like something that you wear in the bumper cars. They're not saving you from shit. I'm sorry. I don't think that they are. I really don't. But wear them. You know, again, I'm not paying out anyone's family by taking any of this advice, okay? This is a conspiracy theory for a reason. So, you know, follow the instructions. Okay, but enough about that, okay? Because none of us are going to be on a plane anytime soon, so we don't really need to worry about it. The topic, the story of this week's episode is titled, Your Cock Is Mine Now. And I know a lot of people are like, such filth and vulgarity on this podcast. Perhaps, but this is interesting, okay? This was a story that was reported in on Vice this Monday, just gone. But before I get into the story, okay, I need to make sure that we're all up to date and we're all on the same page on this concept of chastity cages. And when I say chastity cages, I am referring, of course, to the BDSM world, the kink world, the fetish world, okay? So basically, for those of you who are not in the know, a chastity cage is kind of like a jail, but the prisoner is some guy's penis, okay? So traditionally, a submissive man who is living that BDSM life would have his penis locked, right, in this tight-fitting cage, like a metal cage, and then the key to that cage would be taken and kept by the dominant party, you know, so whoever that happens to be in the relationship dynamic, okay? So you're visualizing this, okay? A flaccid penis, okay? There I said it. With this, like, metal cage. So imagine, you know, those like Japanese finger traps, like where you put your like two fingers in and like you can't get them out, you know? Think that, but metal, and it's for a penis. So the whole, I guess, thing about it is, the whole concept about it is that the guy wearing the chastity cage isn't going to be able to masturbate one or even become fully erect or have much of an erection at all because of the metal bars around his junk. Okay, we're on the same page. Are you all following me? So this, I guess, it like falls into a power play theme, which is obviously very prevalent throughout BDSM and kink community. When guys who get off on wearing a chastity cage around their penis, it obviously, like, it gets the rocks off because it's, like, submitting all their power. And what better way, like, for a man who's into this life to do that than basically giving control over his penis to somebody else, okay? And, like, this penis, obviously, like, the penis, I mean, in general, like, being like the center point, I guess, of a manhood, at least in the traditional biological sense. And look, we don't kink shame here. We don't. We never have and we never will. And look, I can definitely understand the psychology behind it and why that would be sexually appealing to some people. You know, oftentimes the biggest alpha males or alpha females who are all tough and talk a big game on the streets are the biggest bottom bitches in the sheets. And that's a fact. That is a fact. I said what I said. And I mean, look at former President Trump and his scandal around the golden shower. You remember that? many like of these hyper alpha people like to be turned into little bitches in the bedroom, in the same way Donald Trump was aroused by some chick urinating on him. Like, you just know, okay, and this is in my IMO, in my opinion, but you just know all these guys on Instagram, like, who are the Forex traders, who always talk about, like, how much money they're making from Bitcoin, and are posting, like, pictures of their watch on their wrist with the hashtag baller, or balling, or on that graft. They're all getting urinated on. Like, now you know, they're all getting urinated on. Like, you just know that Ellie Kelly chokes Conor Ryan out during sex. Like, you know it. You know that she does. And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? There is nothing wrong with any of the aforementioned. Absolutely not.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
However, okay, and this is where it gets interesting. Okay, this is where the article comes in. Okay. So the problems are arising, okay, when we see this BDSM life and merging, I guess, with this current digital age. And I'll explain why. So obviously I was referring back to a story that was released on Vice this Monday, just gone. So in this article, okay, they're talking about this app called Cellmate, okay? So basically, from their Amazon, this is how the product is described. The world's first app-controlled chastity device. With the Cellmate chastity device, it doesn't matter where you are or what you are doing. You, as the keymaster, have the power to decide if your submissive is allowed to be unlocked from his chastity. In combination with the app for Android and iOS, you can simply set up your account and link the Cellmate to your user ID. Every account has a unique user ID which can control multiple Cellmate devices. When your first Cellmate is paired to your account at the... Basically, okay, to get down to the bones of it. You can buy these things, and they're available on Amazon to buy, okay? Cellmate is the app, and it's also a device. So it's one of these cock cages, okay? That these guys obviously get off by giving someone else the power to lock their cock, basically. So if they can't jerk off, they can't get an erection. And again, it's obviously the submissive of, like, power play that gets these guys off. So you can buy these cages, okay? But these are special ones that are actually connected to an app. So your master or your dominant, whoever, whatever corner of the globe, whatever, is able to control, you know, is able to control the app. And in theory, I mean, it sounds great, but whatever. One of the reviews on Amazon I saw was from C. Crankle. He gave it 1 out of 5 stars and said, "Do not buy." He said, "I had to break it open after 2 tries. The rings were poorly made and had sharp edges. Ring had a massive amount of pinching and was too small. Cage was a good size, but had crevices for skin to hide and pinch. The app sucks. It never stays connected. The lock itself stopped working. It made the noise like it had unlocked, but the pin didn't move. I had to remove the battery to get my member out and then break the cage to get my sack out. Extremely painful and so not worth my money." Okay, a very dissatisfied customer. And like I said, I mean, in theory, it sounds great. It seems like it would revolutionize the cocklocker community. You could have a mistress or a master in any corner of the globe who could put that penis on lock all by touching a button on their phone, you know? This would make it so much easier for masters and slaves, obviously, like, to engage in this, like, BDSM practice without ever having to meet in person. And not only that, but think about all these desperate bottom bitches during the pandemic who have no access to meeting someone to shove their dick in a metal cage. You would think it was, again, a part of La Revolution, but nothing of the sort. As it turns out, a few bad reviews was the least of the worries here. Recently, a hacker took control of people's internet-connected chastity cages, okay? So all of a sudden, all these people who were using this cellmate app and had their chastity, whatever you want to call it, cock cage, whatever, on, suddenly it was controlled now by hackers. Someone else was controlling your junk. And I mean, look, whatever about like your mistress or your master or whatever controlling your cock, now you have some fucking stranger on the internet controlling your peen. Never good. Never good. So basically, these hackers took control of the internet-connected chastity cages, like I said, and they demanded a ransom to be paid in Bitcoin to unlock it. Ooh. Again, these fucking Bitcoin queens coming out of the woodwork to fuck it up for everybody else. Clearly asserting the dominance because they feel so ashamed that they're getting pissed on, like I said. But your cock is mine now, the hacker told one of their victims. Vice reported basically that this one of the guys that they reached out to was called Robert, and he received a message from a hacker demanding a payment of 0.02 Bitcoin. Not really sure what that is. I tried to do the whole Bitcoin thing. I did not have it in me. I didn't. But I know that about 0.02 Bitcoin, it would roughly translate to about $750. Now, there was no more follow-up from Vice. I'm guessing not a lot of people wanted to talk about it. So we don't really know how many countless people's been. All we know that there was a hacking into the devices. And it wasn't just Robert. It wasn't just Robert's cock that got the lock, okay? It was across the board. All of a sudden, Cellmate had been hijacked by hackers. And now, peens all around the globe who were in cages were no longer able to get out of the cages until they paid $750. Well, Bitcoin, 0.02 Bitcoin. But you know what? And the thing is, right? It's not just that men are doing it with these cock cages, okay? It's not. Because you've all heard of these, like, the vibrators that women put inside of themselves. And then, like, you have, like, the man using an app to turn the vibrator on and off at, like, the master's own will, which does sound quite fucking hot, doesn't it? That does sound a little hot. I won't lie. It does. Because again, it's not as extreme as, it's not like the stream is having a cage around your penis, you know, it's a vibrator. A lot of people are actually getting very into that during the lockdown, this kind of whole, this sex, and you can buy these toys. Actually, if you're listening, it could be a good thing. If you're one of these people who are not quarantining with a significant other or a partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, you can actually get these things relatively cheap enough that would allow you to do this. You know, you get a vibrator, they get a vibrator, whatever, and you can each control it, you know, using an app. Again, I think you're pretty safe with a vibrator. And you guys could be like doing like your phone sex, whatever, and also kind of like stimulating each other through this app, you know, which is going to control each other's toy. That could be something for you guys. Let me know if anyone is doing anything like that and is looking for a third. But as far as technology has come, right, like the internet is very much still like the Wild Wild West and IMO, you know, in my opinion, you should not be mixing technology and your genitals, at least not yet, you know, give it a couple of years. I have to think as well that these people were a little naive, if not morons, because like this whole system is built around the internet, right? And it's like, you all know that the internet it doesn't even work for days at a time, or it's like super slow or whatever. Like, imagine having to ring up Aircom explaining to them that if they don't get their shit together, your cock is going to explode. You know, I can't even get Imagine Broadband to call me back. So, like, I'm sure as hell not going to trust them with the welfare of my peen, you know? It's like, what do some people be thinking? If you thought that was a lot, you have no idea what is about to come your way as we move on down to what is that? This story is wild. This is probably the most interesting celebrity story I've heard in a long, long time. I have to say, with the receipts and... this is a good one. This is a good... Finally, celebrities have started giving back. Unbeknownst to them, they're giving back. But it's a scandal. A scandal of... oh, just delicious proportions. So, for this week's What Is That, I didn't have to look very far, if I'm being honest, into the vast wasteland that is cyberspace before I came across these messages that were allegedly, okay, sent out by Armie Hammer. Okay, Armie Hammer. If you don't know who he is, he's this beautiful actor that was catapulted to fame from his leading role in this movie called Call Me By Your Name, alongside that little white crackhead twink, Timothy Chalamet. Okay. Take a second to Google him if you have to. You may have seen the movie Call Me By Your Name. A lot of people saw it. I don't know if it got an Oscar, if it had Oscar buzz, whatever. It was a good movie. Basically, he was a star in it, and it really shot him into the public arena, okay? it's kind of like a cult classic movie, you know, people now. I'd say it must be 3 years old at this point, if not more. Take a second, Google him. Now, like I said, there was these messages, and like I said, these messages were alleged, okay? However, Hammer is yet to make a public statement about any of these messages. And his former girlfriend, okay, Jessica Cienzin Henriquez, has spoken out saying that she believes the shocking messages are real. When I tell you these messages are crazy, I mean it. I was shook, and it takes a lot to shake me. So Hammer, right, he's 34. He began trending on Twitter on Sunday night, after a series of screenshots showing graphic, when I say nasty, of the nastiest messages he'd allegedly penned to a woman, were leaked by the anonymous and now private Instagram account House of Effie. Another woman Hammer was recently said to be dating, model Paige Lorenz, tweeted Sunday, "Anyone got a good therapist?" as the messages were first leaked. Okay, so... I don't know what's happening. Former girlfriend then as well, Henriquez, responded to the post the following day, telling Lorenzo, "Yeah, girl, I'll send you the number," accompanied by a winky face emoji. Okay. So let's dive into these messages. Okay. These messages are going to rock your shit. So basically, the page that first put out these messages was going to give a backstory on how they met. So this was basically a fan who had messaged Armie Hammer, okay, the actor, and she said, "Oh my god, I love you." He's seen the message, it came up seen. So she said, "Totally fangirling and can't sleep now. I loved you in The Social Network, The Lone Ranger, and Uncle. Have a beautiful day." He said, "Go to sleep and thank you." She said, "Oh my god, I actually volunteer for a nonprofit that helps children with disabilities. I'd love to talk to you about it if you're interested. Blah, 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 blah." He wasn't interested in your charity, and neither are we. But that is how the two started talking. And the messages escalated from that, okay, from this brief encounter, into a more sexual relationship, if you will. I'm going to start reading out some of the messages to you now. So some of them sent by Arnie Harmer on Instagram. But I want to talk. I feel like the same way you are on one side of the slave spectrum, I am on the other side of the master spectrum, and I can't ever imagine another slave. This girl puts in quotations next to her screenshot, literally had multiple slaves when he said this lie. I don't even want one. I would never feel as strongly. Fuck, too drunk and honest. You are mine and I am yours, no matter what happens. And we've tested that to the extremes. Okay, first message, we're already getting it. Okay, so basically we're getting the impression that he said that he's on one side of the master spectrum. So what we're getting is he's obviously, again, into this BDSM life like we discussed earlier. But that message was beyond tame. The next message reads from the screenshots. You just live to obey and be my slave. I will own you. That's my soul, my brain, my spirit, my body. Would you come and be my property till you die? If I wanted to cut off one of your toes and keep it with me in my pocket so I always had a piece of you in my possession. Like, okay. Then he goes on to say, so hard, thinking of holding your heart in my hand and controlling when it beats. Again, like, it's gone beyond creepy, obviously. Okay, the whole holding the heart, the cutting off one of your toes. Why am I still interested, though? Why am I still like, okay, take the whole damn hoof? You know? What does that say about me? He goes on to say, I am 100% a cannibal. I want to eat you. Fuck. That's scary to admit, B. I've never admitted that before. I've cut the heart out of a living animal before and eaten it while it's still warm. Like, this man, as beautiful as he is and talented as an actor, sure, is crazy. Is crazy. And I'm not kink shaming or whatever. You know, that's not how we do. But this man is. Because it just sounds like this is the guy. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. I'm still into it in some capacity. Like, this, all this is kind of like, okay. What's going on here? He wants to cut off my baby toe. I mean, look, I have 9 other toes. I could afford the baby. It is quite hot though, isn't it? This whole power play, as deranged and tortured as it is, it still sings quite hot to me. You know, it does. Okay, there, I said it. He says, I'd chase you down and pounce on you so fast if you tried to walk away. Fuck, you need something strong to hold me back from you. He goes on. You around? I'll phone you later. Okay, and then we're seeing some correspondence here. You around? I'll phone you later. Yes, Daddy. Yes, how may I be of help, Daddy? Oh my God, when you call me that, I get like so horny. I need to drink your blood. Why the distance?
I am yours, Daddy. I will help you.
I need you to rent us a place and set it up with a list of things I'll mail you about.
Of course. Where?
I am going to be so naughty and kinky with you there. Oh, the possibilities. Ha ha ha. He goes on then for the final message. You're mine. You hear me? Say it now.
I am yours. I belong to you.
Say that you're mine. M-I-N-E. He spells it out. I own you now. I'll own you forever.
I do. I am yours, Daddy.
Good girl. Whenever I see that, I'm like, good girl. I always read it like an old Irish, like, grandfather. Like, good girl. Good girl yourself. Good girl. So that's not hot to me. But he said, good girl. Your body is so fucking perfect and it's mine and I am into you. I need your blood. I crave it. Will you give it to me tomorrow? Don't forget that you're mine. That topic, once again, it is very intense. I'm intense. I need your blood. I want you to feed me with it. That is fucked up. And this is a Hollywood star. You know, this is not some irrelevant celebrity that no one knows who they are. Okay, this is someone who is actually popping more so in his career now than ever after the success of Call Me By Your Name. So this has to, I mean, this, if this turns out to be true, this is going to be, I have to imagine, detrimental, because I guess the girlfriends were insinuating, the exes were insinuating that he was quite abusive in some regards. And one of them posted on Instagram saying that these abusers, it takes a whole team behind them to hide the abuse, if you get me, like referring, I guess, to Army and his management and his agents, and, you know, whatever, all these different puppeteers within in the Hollywood industry. But it does get interesting. I did a little more digging, right? And I found an interview in Playboy magazine with him in 2013, right? And he talked about his wild sexual habits with women in previous relationships. And he told them that, in quotations, well, if you're married to a feminist as I am, then it's, I don't know how much we can put here without my parents being embarrassed, but I used to like to be a dominant lover. I liked the grabbing of the neck and the hair and all that. But then you get married and your sexual appetites change. And I mean that for the better. It's not like I'm suffering in any way, but you can't really pull your wife's hair. It gets to a point where you say, I respect you too much to do these things that I kind of want to do. Hammer later went on and he blamed like his oversharing about his past sexual exploits on alcohol. He said to E, he was like, let's just say in hindsight is 2020, don't drink during an interview. However, in an interview with Elle later the same year, he claimed a former girlfriend once tried to stab him in bed. He said, one chick tried to stab me when we were having sex, Hammer said. I should so not be telling this story. She was like, true love leaves scars. You don't have any. And then she tried to stab me with a butcher knife. He added, of course, I probably broke up with her 7 months later. So obviously he's a sexual deviant. Like, okay, he was in bed with Stabby Joe. And after she tried to fucking stab him, he broke up with her 7 months later, okay? So if he has the capacity, the appetite for lying in bed next to Stabby Joe and not break up for 7 months, then you know that he is a high freak count, okay? I mean, you know, these messages turn to be true. He's on about fucking dismembering body parts, wants to carry around some cunt's toe, wants to drink blood. He fucking said that he cut open a live animal to hold its fucking heart. He said that he'd love to have the power over holding some chick's heart in his hands so he could control when it beats. This man is a fucking monster. And I love him. There is something real fucked up about this. But again, there's a certain toxicity that is drawing me in. Now, again, we don't have any more developments on, because he hasn't said anything yet. It's been radio silence from him and his team. He hasn't even made any statements denying any of this. So I imagine for him right now, if this turns out to be true, this could be the end of his, is it going to be the end of his acting career? No. Harvey Weinstein was molesting women for years. Jeffrey Epstein was fucking fiddling kids with all the biggest A-listers in the world on a private island, and they all went on to have great successful careers. So I'm sure this will not be the final nail in his coffin. But damn, I will never look at Armie Hammer the same way. That is for sure. How long have we been running? Oh, just over 40 minutes. Okay, I think it's okay to kind of wrap it up around here. Final thoughts. I mean, look, while Armie Hammer, you beautiful bastard, it's extremely toxic and maybe a bit sociopathic. Is it still drawing me in somehow? Yes, the toxicity, it draws me in like a moth to a flame. I do find it quite odd, everything that he was saying there. I do. Look, there, I said it, I do. I'm sure others will agree. Not necessarily that I want my fucking hoof chopped off, but it's the whole, it's the thought that someone would even do that. You know, you're like, damn, that is one twisted motherfucker, you know? So it is quite hot. Now, I also do, I would be conscious of if he was like, oh, want to meet up after saying all this thing, I would go into that. And I'd have to be aware that I could potentially not come back. Like, I feel like this is someone who could murder me, you know? If he's cutting animals open and not to rehash all the things. I'm not having someone chop off my fucking hoof. That is, believe me, where I would draw the line. But God, I'm looking forward to see where the story develops. Like I said, it's been radio silence from his camp so far. I imagine we're going to hear more about it in the next couple of days. You heard it here first. I guess that's everything, you guys. Keep on keeping on. I know it's a miserable time right now. Okay, it is a miserable fucking time. I know. In the meantime, stay woke.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.